This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
On in, it's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. On a Wednesday, as we look forward here. That's right. Week four in the NFL. A Phillies scheduled loss last night, though it wasn't lineup. That was more on Taiwan Walker. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, has anybody else noticed that the popular song for the betting commercial, the song is talking about robbing people? Has anybody else noticed that? The song Annie Up?
You're saying it's almost like a subconscious thing.
Yes. Yeah. Does anybody else find that fine? Go look up the words for the song Annie Up. And it's basically talking about robbing somebody. And I just think that's ironic that, you know, they have a commercial about betting and the song is Annie Up.
I kind of like that one. It makes you think, Hugh Douglas. It makes you think. And I think we have some thinking to do, everybody, as a fan base today. Because, Hugh, look, we had a 2-1 football team, and that's great, right? The Eagles are off to a good start wins and losses-wise. But as we do here on WIP, we dig a little deeper than just wins and losses. And obviously, the two main characters in this season, the coach and the quarterback, Hugh, have come under some fire here the last couple weeks, especially the coach, but also the quarterback because of the turnovers. And look, 2-1 is great, but we saw a team that was 10-1 last year and it fell apart. So the record is really, that's just one piece of the puzzle. It's really, this season's going to go as far as Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni take the Philadelphia Eagles. And Hugh, as much as it's been this week, you know, and the last couple weeks, open season on Nick Sirianni, and I'm as critical on him as anybody. I'm not the biggest fan of Nick Sirianni. He has been not great. He has had issues in game, situational and decision making, all that. That's a fact, and I've said that over and over again. That all being said, to me, the bigger concern moving forward is not Nick Sirianni. The bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward is the play of Jalen Hurts. They need Jalen Hurts to be better for them to get to where they want to go, and I consider him a bigger question mark and a bigger concern moving forward, because right now he's not playing like a great quarterback. The turnovers have been incredibly high since the beginning of last year, most in the NFL. This year, only Will Levis, who his coach is like basically saying, like, what the bleep are you doing on the sideline? Only Will Levis has more turnovers this season. He's 19th at passer rating. And big picture, he touches the football every play. He's the decision maker on the football team. Hugh, I know Sirianni is a pressure point for everyone, and I'm not a big Sirianni guy, but if this goes bad with Sirianni, you just fire Sirianni and get another coach. Just get somebody else in here. The Eagles have signed up for the future of Jalen Hurts, and he has not gotten better in a lot of ways than he was a couple years ago. In some ways, you'd say he got worse because of the way the turnovers have piled up. Hugh, I think the bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward, rest of this year and beyond, is the quarterback more than it is the coach. Hugh, where do you come down on the two biggest factors for the Eagles?
I think it's the coach. I think when you talk about the decisions that were made in the game this weekend and the game before that, there's some concern moving forward whether or not there's – I don't want to be dramatic in this situation because it's still early. But there feels like it's somewhat of a power struggle or a struggle for credit in the success of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll say this about Jalen. I know that a lot of people are talking about the turnovers and everything and the fact that, you know – he is putting the ball in harm's way. But if Patrick Mahomes is the model of good quarterback play, Patrick Mahomes has thrown more interceptions. Well, him and Jalen are tied for the same amount of interceptions. He's throwing more touchdowns. They're tied for as far as touchdowns are concerned. But if that's the model, then I think Jalen's a better quarterback because his QBR right now is higher than Patrick Mahomes. So I think that Jalen has gotten better as a quarterback, but it's hard to separate it when you talk about the interceptions that he's had. I think he's making somewhat better decisions. Now, early in games, he doesn't make good decisions. That's a fact.
Well, the turnover on Sunday was two of them in the first half. Those can't happen.
But he's also had moments in the same game. This is the crazy thing about Jalen in the last two games that he's played in. He's had moments where you look at him and be like, dog, what the are you doing? And then he's had moments like, wow, that was a hell of a play. So I feel like as a quarterback, when you look at Jalen from the time that he went to the Super Bowl to now, he's grown. But you can't excuse the interceptions that he's thrown.
Yeah, I don't think he's grown. I think he's stagnated. He's grown in some areas. Maybe he throws a better ball. You know, maybe it's a little prettier. All that. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's regressed in terms of his decision-making. I don't know why. I don't know what has happened. I just look at it like this. At 215-592-9494. Sirianni is an issue sometimes, right? The decision-making sometimes. And he could lose a game. I mean, I think he lost the game against the Atlanta Falcons. But Jalen is so much more important to the whole thing. He's the quarterback. He touches the football on every play. He's the decision maker on every play. So if we can't trust him or we're, you know, not in a great space with Jalen, we have some question marks. And big picture, if Jalen went bad, and I'm not saying he's going bad. I'm not saying he's not going to have a good season because he very well could. And this was just the first three games with a new coordinator. So he could get way better.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jalen, you know, regresses, let's say the rest of the season, what are they going to do? They're on the hook for next year. He has $107 million dead cap hit. Sirianni's easy. Just fire him. Like, that's small. He's small potatoes in the grand scheme of the franchise. This reminds me a little bit of 2019 with the Eagles. There were questions then about Doug and Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where are they? Were they as good as they were when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago? And the reality was the bigger issue was Carson because that was the franchise quarterback. They had paid him, and obviously Carson went really bad, and it took them 3 years to dig out of that muck of the Carson situation and develop another young quarterback. You know, you're able to move on from a coach if you need to. I am more concerned about Jalen big picture than I am Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494.
Nice hoodie, by the way, man.
You like my? I got this last night.
I know. I can tell you get the new swag. That's a nice hoodie.
I got this last. I was at the Phillies game last night because we had our finale for the yards event. So people won. A couple people, Thomas and Janelle, they won a game. And
I saw the video.
We
hung out last night. Shout out to Thomas and Janelle.
It was awesome. And we got to hang out with Schwarber a little bit before batting practice. So I got myself a new sweatshirt.
No, I like it. I like that a lot.
You've been wanting the maroon one for a while.
I do. I do. And I need to get down there. I'm just lazy. You know. It's
well,
like I need
it's
to just
Red October is about
it is,
to begin.
I need to step my game up. But that is that's a nice hoodie.
You know who else needs to set their game up?
Who's that?
Sirianni.
Well, I think it's Coach Sirianni because Coach Sirianni is supposed to put the quarterback and the players in position to be successful. Now, I agree with you to a certain extent about Jalen and him needing to be better. But I feel like as a quarterback that has put the ball more in harm's way this year than he ever has before, that he's done a pretty decent job. It's the roller coaster ride that we're on right now.
Well, the turnovers are egregious.
Me personally, when I judge my quarterbacks, it's on a year-to-year basis. And if Patrick Mahomes is the measuring stick.
And he is the measuring
stick. He's the measuring stick, Joe. And if that's the case, then Jalen is right on par with him. And I know some people in the car say, well, what the hell are you talking about, Hugh? Patrick Mahomes is more accomplished. Yes, he is.
A lot more.
He's more accomplished. I know that. But he's still the measuring stick.
So that's fair. But if we're looking at just the first three games this year, Allen's been the best quarterback, right?
Josh Allen.
Listen.
Whoever
he's the
got
MVP.
Josh yeah. Allen on their fantasy yeah. football team, they're winning. But I will say this. Josh Allen is not putting the ball in harm's way
he's cleaned
as
it up.
Much.
He's cleaned it up.
But they got a strong-ass running game.
They do. Well,
they
so
have
do we,
a strong,
don't we?
We do, but I'm telling you, they're in games where their running game is so on fire that you really don't have to put the ball in harm's
way.
Well,
and he's been great so far. 215-592-9494. Bigger issue, bigger concern moving forward for the Eagles. Is it the coach? is it the quarterback? I feel like I'm back in 2019. I feel like I did this show in 2019. Duh. And it was, I think it was after a loss to the Saints.
Groundhog
it is.
Day.
Remember when they got blown out by the Saints in 2019? It was a Doug or Carson conversation then. And it turned out to be they were both gone in a couple years. But I thought,
Wentz, watch.
Yeah, I thought the quarterback was the bigger issue then. Kyle, where do you come down on this as we've got questions about the coach and the quarterback here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, the bigger concern is most clearly Jalen Hurts and the turnovers. Like, beyond the whole thing about like who it's easier to move on from, we know that that's Nick Sirianni. They paid Jalen Hurts $250 million, and we don't want to have to deal with giving away a quarterback making top dollar again like we had to do with Carson Wentz. I'm not even going to go there, even though I just did. But in terms of like in-game, it's just far easier to overcome.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
A decision by a coach than it is to overcome turnovers when you're literally giving the ball, you're giving possessions away by Jalen Hurts making stupid throws or holding the ball out and letting somebody knock it out of his hands for a fumble. Like, it's just been happening far too often. And it's becoming like a major problem. Like, if Jalen Hurts was like a Brett Favre or Josh Allen, where he's throwing 35 touchdowns a season, then you can almost excuse a 15 turnover type season from him. But he's not doing that. Like, he's not making up for it.
Not yet.
No, he's not, and he hasn't in a long time. Like, this is, and I hate to do this, but this is a problem that now officially dates back to last season.
The most turnovers in the league since the start of last year.
And it is it's an alarming trend from Jalen Hurts. Like, I think it's just inherently more difficult for a quarterback to play football in a football game than it is for a coach to make better decisions on the sideline. Like, Nick, it is.
Depends on what coach you talk about.
No, well, like, no. But Nick Sirianni can review what he's done and say, all right, you know, in this situation, if it comes up again, I can do it better. Jalen can't just force himself to not make those mistakes. It's just more difficult. Like, Sirianni just sort of has an easier job, I think, on game day than Jalen Hurts does. Jalen has to be better. If this team is going to go far this year, Jalen has to be better.
I think he does too. He has to be better. We'll discuss it all. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Hurts, Sirianni, bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward. It is the Midday Show. Coming up next, your calls. And we'll let you hear what Ray Didinger said about Hurts' turnovers and an interesting exchange between Rex Ryan and Teddy Bruschi on the Eagles head coach. That's next. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 11, Seth Joyner joins the show. Interested in his take on Jalen Hurts. Nick Sirianni as well. We'll talk to Seth Elliott later on, and we'll get to a lot of Phillies the scenarios as things keep changing, evolving in the National League playoff picture. Phillies lose last night with the whatever that was, a bullpen game, a Taiwan game. It was a mess in the pitching department. We expected that, though. They're back at it tonight. But when it comes to the Eagles, Sirianni, Hurts, bigger concern moving forward. And let's be clear on this. There's concern on both. Like, let's not put our head in the sand. We have a quarterback turns the ball over a lot. The head coach, I have no idea what he's doing half the time. Like, I say I'm more concerned with Hurts. I'm not letting Sirianni off the hook.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, you can be sorry all you want. I mean, let's get our head screwed on straight for these games. Sirianni is a concern, but Jalen,
clean it up, Joe.
Got to clean it up, yeah. Sirianni's a concern, but Hurts is the bigger concern for me. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. AB in Philly is up. Hey, AB.
AB.
AB, what's up?
Yo, listen.
What's up?
Y'all killing my man Hurt, dog. Y'all keep throwing this last year stuff up in the mix. Last year he had a trash offensive coordinator. Now he's learning a new offense. Like the producer said, if in 6 weeks Jalen Hurts is still throwing interceptions, All right, I got a problem with that. But right now, we talk about a man who's, again, like I said last week, learning a new offense. Mistakes come with getting better. Yeah, he turned the ball over last year, but this ain't last year. It's a new year. He's learning a new offense. He has to learn the offense. If you notice, in the first half, he's shaky. But when it comes down to that second half, what did he do them last two games in the second half? He got comfortable. Give him a couple weeks for y'all to start. Oh, Jalen Hurts turned the ball. Some of the greatest quarterbacks turn the ball over multiple times.
Not like this. Not like this. AB, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question about new offenses? Is Geno Smith got a new offensive coordinator? Yes. Does Sam Darnold have a new offensive coordinator? Yes. Does Jaden Daniels, fresh out of college, have a new offense he's learning? They're all out playing them, AB. We got to stop with this the new coordinator stuff. Half the league gets a new coordinator every year. You got to perform. He has six turnovers already.
All right, so like I said, I ain't talking about them quarterback.
We can't use the excuse. Why do they learn faster than he does?
Different quarterbacks do different things, but all I'm saying is, give the man a chance. Stop lumping in last year with this year.
But it's a continuation. Don't you see this? He throws the ball to the team wearing the other jersey too much. Doesn't that bother you?
Then you got to take into consideration the interception. He shouldn't even have been throwing the ball to my man last week.
Devontae Smith.
That's a Dallas Goedert. That's a Dallas Goedert AJ Brown pass.
AJ Brown wasn't playing.
I know. And then y'all ain't even giving him that credit. Two starting offensive linemen out, both of his best wide receivers out, and Jalen Hurts still found a way to win the game. Give the man a shot. Give him at least 4 weeks before you start really.
Oh, you guys are out of control.
One more week.
AB, we appreciate the call. Can we be real? He's turned the ball over six times in three games. Six times.
Well, technically four, but I get what you're saying.
Two fumbles.
I know what you're saying. I know.
Fumbles are turnovers. That play on Sunday was a turnover.
No technicality.
No. Okay. That's a turnover. He dropped the ball and the Saints picked it up. It's a turnover.
I'm just saying.
I think I have a read on this. We don't want to believe what our eyes are telling us on Jalen. We want to live in a world where this can't be happening. I don't think Jalen's bad. I think Jalen's good. The question is he just okay? Like so far through 3 weeks, I feel like I'm watching
Groundhog Day.
An average, a little above average quarterback in the grand scheme of the NFL. Not like he's certainly talented.
Above average quarterback, but above average is still above average.
But is that good enough?
Well, I'm saying like you're saying that he's a slightly above it. I think Jalen's a good quarterback. I think he's better than what he's played over the last couple of weeks. I've seen some good things from Jalen. He doesn't have the arm strength that you would want from your quarterback, but he has adequate arm strength.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that as far as his reads are going, he's gotten better with some of the things that he reads defensively. I don't think he's the guy where Tampa Bay Buccaneers talked about him a few years ago, couldn't read defenses. I don't think he's that guy anymore. Now, is there a tell on him? We will find out because, you know, I think the Saints were talking about how he can't throw to his left or something like
that.
Can't go to his left.
Throw or run. Like, he's just not as good. Yeah.
So that's something that we're going to have to see. I think this is a growing situation. And I think as far as the offense and everything is concerned, he's done a pretty good job in a three-week span. Now, after that fourth week, he has to play better. This has been my mantra when it comes to quarterbacks since I played in the NFL. You got to give them 4 weeks before you find out who they are. Especially.
But this is year five of his career.
I understand, Joe. I understand. And here's a guy who, when you look at his stat line from the last couple of years, he's taking more chances with the football this year and last year. That's a fact. When you look at his numbers, he has taken more chances with the football. And with that being said, there are going to probably be some more interceptions. But I feel like if you remove half of those interceptions that he's thrown so far, I can live with that.
Well, of course, we all could. But,
I can live with that.
But they're not eliminated.
Yeah,
they're there.
That, we can't do that.
No, but it's still early in the game. That's what I'm trying to say. It's still early in the game.
We can't just do despite the worst thing he does. He's fine.
Like, well, he is. Like, this is the thing about quarterbacks, man, in my humble opinion, when it comes to guys like that. You have to allow them to grow. You have to allow them to see the mistakes they make, and you can't put more undue pressure on them, because I'm pretty sure he already has pressure on him.
Didn't we all talk about the best thing Jalen could do is just be a game manager? Like, we're talking about taking risks. Like, these are unnecessary risks when you're in the offense that you're in.
I'm not excusing the carelessness with the ball on the fumbles. Now, I will say this. I've talked to a few people about the pass that he threw to Devontae Smith in the end zone. They said that was a good read. Like, most people I've discussed it with, that was a good read. It was just that Honey Badger had the line on and he picked it off. But that was considered a good read. So it's some of those things where, you know, when you look at some of the interceptions, you can make the argument that it really wasn't his fault. That was a good read, though. That was definitely a good read.
And maybe it was. I mean, that's just this one. But we've done this a lot over the last 2 years. Like, maybe this wasn't his fault. Maybe it wasn't. He's the common denominator.
No doubt about that. And that's not me making an excuse. That's because at the end of the day, when things like that happen, it's on you. It's definitely on you.
There's no question. All right, let's get to Ray Dittinger. Ray Dittinger here yesterday with the morning show talking about Jalen Hurts. Here's Ray on Hurts and the interceptions.
You have to be concerned about Hurts. I mean, you just do. I mean, he's just making too many mistakes. He's just making too many mistakes. And it's going to be very hard to keep winning if he's going to keep making mistakes the way he's making them. Do you realize, I mean, we've all talked endlessly about how giveaway, takeaway, turnover ratio, how that is the biggest single indicator of wins and losses in the NFL. It just is. I mean, that's the game today. Do you realize the last time, you know how far back you have to go for the last game when the Eagles came out on the plus of giveaway takeaway?
How far back?
Kansas City last year.
That's brutal.
That's crazy.
11, it's been 11 games since you won giveaway takeaway. You didn't even win it yesterday.
Well, they didn't. It's remarkable they have a winning record. I mean, when you just factor in that statistic by Ray Dittinger, it really is. 215-592-9494. Bigger concern right now for you with the Eagles as we move forward here. It's a 2-1 team, but I hope we learn from last year. Let's just get caught up while they're 2-1. They were 10-1 last year. There were issues, and it came back to bite them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They got to be better. I mean, I think we all agree the head coach and the quarterback need to be better. It's a matter of who's the bigger concern.
I feel like Hugh was sort of going this way, and I've heard callers mentioned this already about, like, oh, look at other quarterbacks and Mahomes, like, turning it over and stuff. And then we do this thing with Jalen where we try to parse out every interception, whose fault it was. You know what we don't do? With other quarterbacks.
If you're going to go there, you got to do it with everybody.
I feel like this. And a lot of times, it just amazes me how, like, when pundits talk about the NFL, for certain quarterbacks, they like to bring up last year instead of having every year on his own merit. Every year is different. We talked about this year how it looks like the running backs are having a resurgence. The NFL, whether we want to admit it or not, it stands on its own every year. It's different every year.
I agree with that. It feels like this year might be a more run game defense.
Yes,
year.
And it feels like the scoring is down in the NFL. So I don't think, like, and a lot of pundits do this, I don't think in the sense of if you're talking about this year, and I know we like to use sampling size and we like to use analytics. I don't think it's fair to talk about some of the stats from last year in this year's setting being as that it's different this year.
All right, I think that's fair. All right, let me throw this at you. And because I said a few minutes ago, I think so far this year, he's done some good, but the too many turnovers, I think he's been slightly above average. So as we were going through this, I just wrote down guys I think have outplayed him so far this year.
Josh Allen, for sure.
So I came up with 13 names of guys I think have played better through 3 weeks. Now,
Jaden Daniels.
So I got Allen, Kyler, Purdy, Darnold, Lamar, Daniels, Burrow, Geno, Rodgers. I mean, he's playing well. His team stinks right now.
I'll give you that one.
I mean, he has 5 touchdowns, no picks. Rodgers, Stafford, Mahomes, Stroud, Carr. So I have him at like 14 right now. Not bad, but it's like it's more middle of the pack. A couple years ago, the feeling was Jalen was great, right? Or like close to great. Top 5, top 7. Last year, let's be real, he was closer to middle of the pack. So far, let's just stay in this year like you want him. And I think that's fair. He's, again, to me, it feels middle of the pack-ish.
And out of all those quarterbacks you named, how many of those are still working with the same offensive coordinator.
All right, so Allen.
Because I think Josh Allen he's just not coming into his own with his coordinator.
They
right?
switched around Thanksgiving last year.
Yes.
So Allen, Murray, Purdy, Lamar, Burrow, Rodgers, Stafford, Mahomes, Stroud. They're all with the same guy.
Yeah,
so it's like three of them have new guys.
Yeah, and to be trying to be fair and balanced, because I get what you're saying, Joe, and I'm not excusing Jalen for some of the things that he's done, but he is working with a new offensive coordinator with a new offense, and I feel like in the small sampling size that he's done pretty good with adjusting to a new coordinator. Now, is there a lot of meat on that bone? No doubt about that. No doubt about it, and he has to play better. But when you ask me who is the bigger offense to this team right now, it's the coach, because I feel like the quarterback is ascending. The coach is trying to figure out, he's trying to get in where he fits in.
That's fair.
And by him doing that, Joe, he's making bonehead decisions.
Yeah, the coach is more awkward. I mean,
like he's sitting like, and again, I like Coach Sirianni. But when you talk about the lesser of the two evils, to me it's Jalen, because you have a coach that's sitting there every day justifying decisions that he's making. And guess what, people? This ain't going nowhere. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of Coach Sirianni sitting there in meetings after games when decisions are made. If they're not, they don't look kosher, he's going to be asked who made it. And he's going to get defensive. Hopefully he doesn't. But he's going to get defensive, and it's going to be one of those things where it could potentially get ugly. So he's the biggest problem with this team right now.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Elliot in Lumberton. Hey, Elliot.
Hello.
Hey, Elliot. What's up, buddy?
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good, Elliot. What are you feeling?
What's up, man?
Well, first, I want to say thanks for taking my call. This is my first time finally actually getting through. So,
well, we appreciate you making the call and listening. We're excited to have you part of the show, Ellie. So what are you thinking today? Who do you think is a bigger concern here?
So I definitely think Sirianni is the bigger concern long term. I was at the Atlanta game, and I just the decision-making to not take points when they're available, and then to see that again several times against the Saints, I don't understand it.
Me neither.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, Elliot, especially the one this past weekend against the Saints, because there's just like the risk reward there makes no sense. None.
Like you pass up on two shorter field goals, but then you decide to go for the 60-yard field goal when Jake Elliott hasn't attempted a field goal in several games at that point.
Yeah, you almost iced your own kicker. He almost iced his own guy.
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did. And in terms of, like, defending Jalen, because I am a Jalen fan, I am a Jalen supporter, I definitely think we're overly critical of him, and I think part of it has to do with us being burned by Wentz in the past, and we don't want to see history repeat itself, because if we look at it stat-wise, he has the same amount of interceptions right now as Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, who everybody's so high on the Lions right now.
I am one of those people. I think Detroit's really good. That, and that's a fair point.
I do too.
Yeah, Goff's turned it over too much. Yep.
Yeah. Like they're exactly the same stat-wise with passing touchdowns and interceptions. So I just think if we're going to be so critical of Jalen, we need to do that same thing with all of the other quarterbacks.
Elliot, that's fair, and he's not the only one. Elliot, we appreciate the phone call. So there's different ways to look at interceptions, right? You know, you were mentioning Hugh, some could be on a receiver at a certain play. You know, there's also, and you mentioned this too, and we do this a lot, like how much time Jalen throws it more now than he used to, right? They throw the ball more now. So you can look at interception percentage, not just the raw numbers, right? If you throw the ball 50 times compared to 20, statistically, you're more likely to throw a pick or two because you threw it so many more times. So interception percentage of passes that become interceptions. Jalen Hurts right now, sixth worst. Mahomes, to your point, Hugh, fifth worst right now. They're very similar. Goff, seventh worst. Those guys have thrown a high percentage of interceptions. And then the opposite side of this is Burrow hasn't thrown one, and Daniels hasn't thrown one. Allen hasn't thrown any. They have a 0% interception. Let's hear Rex Ryan yesterday, Teddy Bruschi, back and forth about Nick Sirianni. Thought this was interesting as Sirianni, you know, he took to the podium after the game, said, blame me, it was my call, my fault. What did those guys think of this? Here was that on ESPN.
Especially to professional athletes. I mean, I think what he said about everything's on me, it's all on me, that's good for high school football, really, when you're protecting kids. But as a professional, sometimes it's on me. And I know it's on me, and I don't need you protecting me. So treat me like a man. There's a little bit of that there. He seems awkward a lot of times when I watch him and I hear him. And to be in a meeting room, I can imagine on Wednesday, I mean, the core four, okay, let's go back. The core four of this team, all right, it was
Fletcher, Kelsey, that group,
Graham, those guys, all right, they're starting to get old and thin out, and leadership eventually transitions, okay, transitions to where certain players have to pick it up. And if they don't pick up that leadership and you're continually watching an awkward head coach continually speak in front of you, you know, you lose guys.
The thing about the inconsistencies at Sirianni, you know, at the press conference and things like that. This needed to be said from jump last week. It needed to be said.
Right.
Put it on you. All right. I think the players appreciate you when you put it on. You're not protecting them. You're taking it. Just say, okay, you're not in it by yourself. I'm right there with you. In fact, I'm in front of it. I'll take every damn bullet. That's what you're paid to do. And right now, when he deflected it last week, in my opinion, I thought that was awful. Like, that's a horrendous thing to do.
What do you make of that? So they're basically saying last week Sirianni said Kellen called the play, the drop to Saquon. That was Kellen Moore, you know, his call on the play, the way they ran a play there. And then on Sunday, he said it's on me. It was my decision. So they're basically like, either you take the blame all the time or you don't. What do you make of them with Sirianni?
Yeah, I mean, I get exactly what he's talking about. Like, Andy Reid, no matter what happened, would always say, I got to do a better job.
Always on him.
Every time, and again, I have to always preface it by saying I like Coach Sirianni, but sometimes when you sit in press conferences, the less you say, the better off you'll be, because of that simple fact. Like, you're sending two different messages, two different weeks. That's going to be a problem moving forward. The best thing for Coach to do is in this next press conference, whatever happens, don't explain as much as you did in the past. And you're going to probably get called, hey, you know, now he's clamming up or whatever. You got to deal with that, man, because the more you try to explain it, the more you're going to talk to people that really don't get what you're trying to say, and the message is going to be skewed. So the best thing to do in this situation for your football team, if you want to have success and get to where we all want us to be, you just have to let Kellen Moore do his thing and do whatever your thing is.
It does feel like Sirianni, as the season goes on, could be more of a distraction for the team than Hurts, right? Hurts' play is the question, but he's not going to be a distraction week to week, right? He's going to play. Sometimes he'll play great, sometimes he'll play okay, whatever. It does feel like the Sirianni thing is going to hover over them. Every player that I've heard speak this week is asked about Sirianni. Sirianni this. It's become like you can't avoid it, and he's got to do a better job avoiding that. He can't be the topic every week.
And that's what it is, Joe. The fact that we in Philadelphia are glazing over, not so much glazing, let me take that back, because that's not what we're doing. We talk about it every day. But the fact that they feel at the NovaCare that this was not a big deal, and everybody and their mama outside the NovaCare that has ever played in the NFL
says what?
Is talking about this is a big deal. Yeah. Just go on social media and look at Sunday's feed from anybody that's an Eagles fan, and everybody's saying, why not take the points there? And then to sit there and take the hit like you did and then get defensive when asked, you know, why did you override it?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. A lot for a head coach.
And when every player is asked the question about it, it becomes a distraction. 215-592-9490 for a bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward. Is it Hurts? Is it Sirianni? Seth Joyner will join at 11 to talk about all this, your phone calls, and we got the biggest Hurts defender on the line next. We'll get to that next, and you. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 11, Seth Joyner joins the show. Elliot Shore Parks. Though I started to call him Elliot Shore Madden. Have you seen these breakdowns Elliot does on Twitter now?
No, what are you doing?
No, he does the Madden telestration.
He said Elliot Shore Madden.
Elliot Shore Madden at 12. Excited to talk to him about all of this. We'll get to more Phillies. They lost yesterday, but so did the Dodgers. We'll get to all the NL scenarios coming up in a little bit here. Hurt Sirianni, bigger concern moving forward for the Eagles. It's Jalen for me. It's Sirianni for Hugh. And for OG Wade, I think I can guess who it is. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What are you thinking?
Of the topics, man. Yeah, I mean, y'all doing your thing. Listen, let me just break it down to you. Now, you done heard from all these gurus, right? You done heard from the great Ray Diddy. Everybody talk about Jalen Hurts' turnover. You can't do it, can't do it. For some reason, he's the winningest quarterback in the last 2 years with turning the ball over. So what you got to understand is that phrase that they say, it takes all of us. If you have a defense that play like they played on Sunday, if they can keep that up or even something close to that, it can help you back up your quarterback when he makes mistakes. If it's mistakes, one thing is constant and it's going to always be in this game of football, there are always going to be turnovers. Here's what Jalen Hurts cannot do. Jalen Hurts cannot be quarterback that's out there being extra care and careful and game management like y'all want him to be and win a championship. That's not how it's going to get done. The way it's going to get done is that when Jalen makes a mistake, somebody's got to back it up, or how often he do it. He backs it up. He's the one. Here's what you're not mentioning. Did you mention that Jalen Hurts has just set another franchise record winning drives? We don't mention that, but we mention all of the negatives about Jalen. When is people going to look at the positives in him, that he's a young quarterback? Probably he's an older quarterback, young quarterback. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have turnovers. The bottom line is, what is your record? So you talked about Purdy. Purdy and them is what, 1-2?
Mm-hmm.
So Purdy's been playing better than Jalen.
Purdy's played better than Jalen, yeah. Yes.
But according to what matters, Joe.
But it's a team. But OG, winning is a team game. We can't just say the quarterback's the only guy responsible. It's not fair.
Everybody keeps saying that, right? But how many games have we won without Jalen? Since everybody want to keep saying winning is a team thing, it's not the quarterback. But we can't win one damn game without Jalen.
Well, how many games has he missed?
Most people, 5 or 6 of them. And we won one.
Well, he didn't miss any last year. When was the last time he missed a game? The Saints game in 2022?
The Jets.
Well, that was 2021. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
We could not win. My point to you, Joe, is that we can't win without the man. So if you can't.
What are you talking? Hold on. In the last 3 years, they've played 3 games without him. Am I wrong? They've played 3 games without him.
And they lost all 3.
No, they're 1-2.
They
beat the Jets without him.
Exactly. That's what I just told you.
Right. So they're 1-2. But this isn't a sample size that means anything. 3 games?
Yo, my point.
You there,
OG? Is winning.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I just, the winning, you can't win without him thing doesn't make any sense. They played 3 games over 3 years without him. It's such a small sample. Like, what does that have to do with anything? You gave a lot of numbers. Let me give you this. This is an outlier. This can't last. If he keeps turning the ball over, they will lose. In the NFL, let's use an analogy. We like to use stupid analogies. OG, if I walk across the street with my eyes closed and I make it 3 straight times, should I do it a 4th? Is that smart? Is it going to keep working, or am I going to get smacked by a car?
So you're comparing that to Jalen's turnover?
No, I'm saying that's not making any sense. You just want to defend the quarterback. If you keep turning the ball over, you can't say he's a winner. It doesn't make any sense. He's going to start to lose if he turns the ball over this much. NFL history doesn't lie. If you turn the ball, if you lose the turnover battle, you lose 70% of the time. Just because Jalen has won a bunch of games and the Eagles have won a bunch of games, turning the football over, doesn't mean this is okay. This is not going to last.
This is not sustainable.
It's, you know, I go back. I saw a stat on Sunday. The last time the Eagles were 2-1, despite losing the turnover battle in all three games, you know when that was?
When?
It was 2012. You know what their final record was that year?
What was the record?
4-12, and Andy Reid got fired. If we think this is like, well, that doesn't matter. He did. He had two turnovers in the first half, but he's a winner and he won the game. We got this. I got news for you. They're going to be under 500 in a couple weeks if he keeps turning the football over. This is, it's not sustainable. And yes, it was a silly example I gave about crossing the street, but the point is, it's not smart. It's not going to keep working.
We always give silly examples, though, so it's like par for the course.
I just don't understand it. I don't know how you could say it's okay. It's not okay.
You knew, come on, man. You knew OG was going
to defend the quarterback. I know.
Like, that's your fault.
It's my fault.
Yeah, you got worked up.
All right, OG, I didn't let you finish. You got anything else?
Yeah, what my point is this here is, guys, sometimes you have to be able to compartmentalize turnovers as well. Just because he turned it over don't mean that, oh, it's a bad throw. We can't do it. We're adding up stuff that really don't matter at the end. What matters is that, do you have the ability to correct the mistake, to come back from the mistake? If the mistake hurts you, then you say, we can't do that. But if you have the ability to make it up and to come back and your defense stands up for you, just like Kansas City does for Patrick Mahomes turnovers, that is what matters, winning. That's all that matters. I'm not telling you Jalen Hurts is fine with turning the ball. He can do it. No, I'm saying that it's going to happen. When it happens is when we have to do the best that we can do to salvage it.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. I do also think, and OG, appreciate the call. I think we, as not just OG, we get way too results dependent when we talk about this stuff. Can I just paint a picture?
Yeah, paint a picture, Joe.
Jalen Hurts has the same stats, same players so far this season. But in week one, the Packers corner catches his final interception. And last week, the defensive backs for the Saints don't run into each other. What are we saying right now? They're 0-3.
Yeah, and you're talking about the quarterback.
Of course.
But you're also talking about the head coach, too.
Hugh, I agree. I'm just saying we're basing all this on their 2-1, their 2-1. They're like two plays away from being 0-3.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you talk about that. It's a problem, no question about it. But I think that a lot of this comes from Jalen just getting comfortable in offense. And I know that, again, like I said, a lot of people like to lump in the sample from last year. And to some people, that's valid. To me, it's not, because it's a different situation. He has to play better. There's no question about that. But when you ask me about what, if you ask me, if I had a crystal ball, what is going to hold this team back?
Like, what if the season sinks?
It's going to be the coach. To me, it's the coach. Because the coach, it right now, and I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying if I had the crystal ball and we fast forward this thing, I would say the season sunk because the coach felt some kind of way about who was getting the credit.
Well, that based on the first 3 weeks, yes, that's on my mind too.
Don't you think it's funny that we attribute the winning record, Jalen? He wins all the time. The coach also has the same record.
I know. He does. I mean, they're together. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All your phone calls coming up, and we'll talk to Seth Joyner next. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Guys, guess what? My hair, it's thin, and then not just because of callers like OG Wade making my hair fall out. No, it just happened naturally. Like, it happens. It happens to all of us. We all see it. And you know what you have to do? You have to make a decision. What are you going to do about it? Just let it go? Or you want to go get some information on how to maybe fix it? I visited my friend Dr. Rafi. He gave me hope. He can give you up. Everyone loses hair as we age, and our hair loss won't stop till we stop it. I'm not talking about those over-the-counter shampoos and supplements, because if you use them, you know that's not a permanent answer. Looks matter. So if you're newly single, have a wedding or a job interview coming up, trying to land more clients, or just want to look the way you remember, you don't need to suffer anymore, because Dr. Rafi and his team at Precision Hair Restoration will personally perform the most natural looking hair restoration using cutting edge artist robotic or NeoGraft FUE technology or the non-surgical Almated. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back, or visit phillyhairmd.com. That's phillyhairmd.com.